Today I'm going to further advance some discussion I had earlier in the sermon regarding the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. I'm also going to read a letter that I received from an elder in the Primitive Baptist Church. In fact, he told me to share this with my internet friends who call themselves Primitive Baptists. So I'm going to share this letter with all of those people that I don't know. I'm sure a lot of the people that listen to this are not my internet friends, but I'm going to follow his advice and share this. I think it bears frank discussion and also bears Bible study on this. Basically, what he's saying is the idea that you advance on having to know the name of Christ leaves me wondering. What about the elect Jews who knew Christ as the Messiah, Shiloh, the Son of God, Daniel 3:24 through 25? Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, O king, he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." So he's quoting the scripture there when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were cast into the lake, into the fire. And he's saying, quote, "None of these had ever heard the name of Christ. Were they of the elect? Does God have two ways of salvation? How can the Jews who never knew Christ receive eternal salvation?" Well, that's a really good question. It reminds me of Dr. Wayne House back many years ago when he was asked, "How do the Old Testament saints come to Christ?" And he said, quote, "That's the question." And it amazes me that this elder, who's been in the Primitive Baptist Church for years and years and years, is now asking the question, how can the Jews who never knew Christ receive eternal salvation if they didn't know who Christ was? Well, what he's missing, what this elder does not understand, is that the Holy Spirit in regeneration is the one that quickens the heart to the understanding of Jesus Christ and the name of Jesus Christ. You cannot separate the name of Christ from the personality and the Godhead of Jesus Christ evidenced in His Son. He goes on to say that he says, "If the blood of Christ redeemed all the elect, we cannot limit salvation to those who knew our Savior is Christ." Now that is blasphemy, in my opinion. That statement is absolutely blasphemy. It says, "If the blood of Christ redeemed all of the elect, we cannot limit salvation to those who knew our Savior as Christ." I'm here to say that all of the redeemed, all of the elect, will know our Savior is Christ. They will know our Savior is Christ. And I'll even go even further than that. I will say, according to Scripture, that all men are going to know who Christ is. All men are going to know who Christ is. Even the reprobate, even the one that's going to be cast into hell, are going to know who Christ is. You go to the second chapter of Philippians, it says here in the ninth verse, "And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So not just the elect, okay, is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so you don't think that His elect, His very elect, who were redeemed by the blood of Christ, knew who Jesus Christ was and wasn't evidenced through the power of the Holy Spirit regenerating and quickening their hearts to quicken them to the knowledge of that fact? Well, this elder goes on to say, study these things. Give them to your internet friends who call themselves Primitive Baptists. Get their input. You need a better understanding of the Bible. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and the Bible, authorized King James Version, is in complete agreement with the first generation Genesis to the last Revelation. That was his final thing. And then he said, in Christian love, and signed his name. And by the way, he actually rebuked me at the church. Okay, at the church, he rebuked me for some messages when I'd stated to him, well, actually, he had given a message in the church saying that you didn't have to know the name of Jesus to get to heaven. And I confronted him about it and said, that is not scriptural. It's not scriptural at all. The Bible says that there's only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. And basically what he told me is if I went down that road, that I was taking an unbiblical position. And he went on to tell me that I could not be a Primitive Baptist, and I didn't I need to study my Bible more. That's what he told me. Because I was standing up for the name of Jesus. Now, you know, there's many, many scriptures, okay, that talk about the power of the name of Jesus Christ. There's many scriptures, and we can go through some of them. You know, let's start and just go through a few of these passages. Let's look in Luke, the 9th chapter. And round about the 26th verse there, he says, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, whom he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." Okay. Why all of a sudden are so many people ashamed of invoking the name of Jesus Christ? Why do you think that from Billy Graham, who says that you don't have to know Jesus to get to heaven, and you can be you can worship Allah, you can worship Buddha, as long as you're a good person, you can get to heaven? Why is it that the National Day of Prayer refuses to invoke the name of Jesus? And George Bush, on the National Day of Prayer, refused the name to use the word or the name of Jesus. And he said that we welcome all faiths and we all worship the same God, the God of Allah, the God of the Muslims, and the God of all faiths. Well, let's look at a couple more scriptures here. 1 John, the 2nd chapter. I was actually warned about going down this road, promoting the name of Jesus as the only way to God, by an elder in a Primitive Baptist church. 1 John 2:23 says, "Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also." He says, "Little children, it is the last hour, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that as Antichrist shall come, even now, as there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would not, no doubt, have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar? But he denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is an Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Now notice here in the 22nd chapter of 1 John, he specifically, John says, who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is an Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. That you have heard from the beginning. Okay. And he says, if that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Now, we can also look at other passages of Scripture. Now, my question is that has Jesus Christ's name changed? Has Jesus Christ's name changed? Yes, he was called many things. He was called the Prince of Peace. He was called the Alpha. He's called the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Emmanuel, God is with us. But Jesus Christ has been and always will be. He's eternal. It says here, we're going to look at a couple passages in Acts. Let's look in Acts, the fourth chapter. Acts, the fourth chapter. And we're going to look here, go down to it says here, Acts, the fourth chapter. And we're going to read down, he says, as it is written, I have made thee, I'm reading in the 17th verse, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to them which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Okay, now, he's speaking here that the Old Testament saints believed in the same rock, and Moses and all of those Old Testament saints, it's stated in the Acts that, and in many places, that rock which they believed on, that rock was Jesus Christ. That rock was Jesus Christ. Again, I want to look in the fourth chapter of Acts, and like I said, let's look down the he says here, Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, ye rulers of the people and elders of elders of Israel, if this day be examined by the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it unknown to you and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him, and he's speaking here, by the name of Jesus Christ, does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. And that is spoken of. You can look in the 118th Psalm. You can also look in Isaiah, the 28th chapter. Okay. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. None other name. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, what happened to them? It says they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. That's exactly what's happening today. Don't pray in the name of Jesus. It's okay to pray to God, the God of all faith, but don't pray in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, not finding nothing how they might punish them, because the people, for all men, glorified God for that which was done. So we're going to see more and more persecution coming against Christians that are standing up for the name of Jesus Christ. Let's just think about the Masonic Lodge for a minute. You know, do you know that in the Masonic Lodge, in the higher orders, if the worshipful master allows prayers to be made in Jesus' name, do you know his lodge but can be closed by the Grand Lodge? Do you realize that if the worshipful master allows prayers to be made in Jesus' name, that the Grand Lodge can close him down? They are commanded not to pray in the name of Jesus. And they, by the 33rd degree Masons, it's actually, they are denied to use the name of the Lord Jesus, the name of Jesus. Denial of the Jesus Christ oath is manifest. When they go in the 33rd degree, they have to deny Jesus Christ. And there's a removal of name of Jesus and reference to him in the Bible. Why do you think that is? Because these people are Luciferian in doctrine. They hate Jesus Christ. They hate his name. Okay? And now, here I have an elder admonishing me and saying that if the blood of Christ redeemed all the elect, we cannot limit salvation to those who knew our Savior is Christ. And I'm saying that the blood of Christ did redeem all the elect, and all those who were redeemed knew our Savior is Christ at some point before were ushered into eternity. I guarantee you they knew Jesus Christ. How can I make a statement like that? Because there's many, many passages, but one of them very clearly, which says that there's only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. And that includes the Old Testament saints. Also, let's just look in the 6th chapter of John. In the 6th chapter of John, he says here, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Well, now, if it was the work of God that all of those believe on Jesus Christ whom he has sent, wouldn't it also be the work of God for all the Old Testament saints to look forward to Jesus Christ coming as the Messiah? Absolutely. He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Not to anyone else, but other than to him. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And he says, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And he says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's exactly what he's going to do too. He's going to raise all of those whom the Father has drawn to Jesus Christ. To Jesus Christ. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. You don't think that God can teach anyone he wants to the name of Jesus Christ? Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Cometh unto me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Well, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak in you, they are spirit and they are life. What do you think that it means to be born again? Don't you think that includes knowing who Jesus Christ is? Don't you think it includes a knowledge of Jesus Christ and His Son? John, let's go back to John, the third chapter. And there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. We know that our teacher came from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound of it, but canst tell whence it cometh and whence it goeth. So it is one that is born of the Spirit of God. Well, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. But whosoever believeth in Him, who's Him? Jesus Christ, should not perish. Well, it seems really elementary to have to explain that all that the Father has given to the Son will come to the Son, will come to Jesus Christ. And I don't know why these people are making such an issue over the fact that you don't have to know Jesus to get to heaven. He says, the idea you advance on having to know the name of Christ leaves me wondering. What's this mean? The idea that I'm advancing on having to know the name of Christ. Well, it's not the idea that I'm advancing, sir. This is not an idea. It says that here that you know, we can go many, many places to see that it's not just an idea that I'm advancing. It's a fact that the Bible proclaims. It's a fact that the Bible proclaims. And if you look in the Revelation, the first chapter of Revelation, the first verse says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. And he goes on and talks about, okay, who Jesus Christ is. This is a revelation of Jesus Christ. And God has revealed his Son to all of his elect. He has revealed his Son to all of his elect. He hasn't revealed his son to just some of the elect. And for us to say that he couldn't reveal his son to the Old Testament Jews is absolutely ludicrous. It's blasphemy. It's limiting the power of God is what it's doing. And God is not limited in his power to reveal his son to his elect. And you know, to think that an elder that has been in the church for, I don't know, 25, 30 years, now is coming against someone who is standing up for the name of Jesus Christ and saying that all men, must come through Jesus Christ. Okay? I want you to look at the last verse in Revelation. The very last verse in Revelation, which is the 22nd chapter. The very last verse says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Speaking to all of the saints. And I'll tell you what, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be with all the saints. He will be with all the saints. And there are many other scriptures that I could go to speaking of the name of Jesus Christ and how he revealed himself, the pre-incarnate Christ in the Old Testament. And people say, well, they didn't know his name was going to be Jesus. Okay? They didn't know his actual name when they died. Well, I'll tell you what. I do not believe that God is limited in revealing his son's name to all of his elect. I don't believe he is limited in that regard. I don't think that he would say in Philippians there that every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I don't believe it would have said in there that he's giving him a name. He's giving him a name that is greater than any name. That the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God also hath highly exalted him, giving him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue, not just the tongues of the New Testament, but that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So, he's not limited as to who he reveals the Son to in redeeming grace. He's going to reveal his son to everyone that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that he's the only one that's worthy to open the book. But he's also was slain before the foundation of the world. And it says that he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Chosen us in who? Well, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We're the only ones that were blessed with spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ, the New Testament saints. Is that all he's talking about? Is just the New Testament saints here? He says, he goes on and he says that it says, "But now in Christ Jesus ye who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And are built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Well, I tell you what, if I'm going to err, and I don't believe I am in error, and I challenge anyone to email me and dispute me over the fact that God did not reveal to the Old Testament elect saints of God that he was Jesus Christ. I had another gentleman one time tell me, well, you cannot find Christ in the Old Testament. You cannot find Christ in the Old Testament. And that's basically dispensationalism, folks. You know, there's two ways to God. There's a way for the New Testament, and there's a way for the Old Testament saints. No. There's only one way to God. There's only one way to God. And he says that rock was Christ. They were looking forward. They knew that Christ was to come. This Messiah was to come. And those that were God's elect, that were quickened by the power of the Holy Spirit, believed the promises. I'm amazed how people want to limit God and his ability to enlighten all of his elect to the truth of who he is. I'm amazed about it. I really am. So I would warn those people to think very strongly about the fact that those that say that the Old Testament saints did not have to know Jesus Christ to get to heaven are just not understanding of the power of the Holy Spirit to reveal himself to his elect. No man can serve two masters. He will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God without serving his Son, Jesus Christ. There's people that will say, what people are trying to do is they're trying to rationalize the gospel. They're trying to put it in their little cognitive brain and try to figure out how God could reveal his Son, Jesus Christ, to the Old Testament saints. I don't understand it. I don't understand how he could. I don't understand how he could impregnate Mary through the Holy Ghost, cause her to conceive and give birth as a virgin. I don't understand how he could cast three men cast in the fire, and fourth was likened to the Son of God appearing in the fire. I don't understand how he could part the ways of the Red Sea for the Israelites to walk forth on dry land and then fold it up on top of all of Pharaoh and his army. I don't understand how he could cause a lot of things. All of the plagues. I don't understand how he... But he's God, and we cannot limit God in his power. And that's exactly what we're doing when we're saying that the Old Testament, there's no way they could have known who Christ was. That's like saying you can go to a foreign land and no one can know who Christ is, so there's no way that they can... You know, that's the argument coming forth from Billy Graham and Robert Schuller I'm here to say that God is not limited by time or space or men. He can reveal Himself and His Son to whomever He chooses, and He will. He will. It says in Isaiah, the 44th chapter, "Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, and He that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the hands alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself, that frustrateth the tokens of the liars, and maketh diviners mad, and turneth wise men backwards, and maketh their knowledge foolish, that confirmeth the word of His servants, and performeth the counsel of His messengers, that saith to Jerusalem, Thou shalt be inhabited, and to the cities of Jerusalem ye shall be built, and I will raise thee up the decayed places thereof. That saith of Cyrus, He is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, Thou shalt be built." God does whatever He wants to, folks. And He's glorified all of this through His Son. Now, we have to go back and end with Colossians, one of my favorite passages. It says, "He has strengthened us with all might according to His glorious power, and all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Notice He doesn't make a distinction between the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints. What He does say, He's delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. You don't think that those Old Testament saints were translated into the kingdom of His dear Son? "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. By Him," Jesus Christ now, "were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things are created by Him and for Him." They were all created by Jesus Christ and they were all created for Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is before all things. Says He is before all things. Jesus Christ is before all things, and by Jesus Christ all things consist. Well, you know, it pleased the Father that in Jesus Christ should all fullness dwell. "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Jesus Christ to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Jesus Christ, I say, whether they be things in heaven or things in earth." The Old Testament saints were reconciled to Jesus Christ, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He says, "That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father, and may know the mystery of God, even Christ." Okay? "That they may know," he said, "the mystery of God and of the Father, Christ." Know that, you know, it's not limited to knowing the Father. It's also the fact that that Christ Jesus has revealed Himself down through the ages to His prophets, to all of those, and we need to exalt Jesus Christ. We need to realize that There's nothing. It says more important to realize that Jesus Christ is not limited to the revelation of the to the New Testament saints alone. He says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal of the Lord knoweth them that are His." And he goes on and says, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. But you know what? What's so interesting about that is he says here that who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. If it was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, was it also given in Christ Jesus to the saints in the Old Testament before the world began? That's my question. Okay, now let's look back over in the Hebrews. Let's go back to Hebrews. And I was often thinking in this whole discussion about the name of Jesus Christ and how people don't want to take on the name of Christ, and how the apostles were threatened for preaching in the name of Jesus Christ, and how the Masonic Lodge refuses to allow their worshipful masters to use Jesus' name, or they close down their lodges. Okay. He says, you know, it's impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And it goes through all of those that were in the faith. Okay? And now, the question is here, do you think that these people that are all listed as being in the faith knew not Jesus Christ? Well, here's what it says. It says in the 26th verse, after going through the whole laundry list of all those that were of the faith of the Old Testament, it says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he had respect on the recompense of reward. Who's he speaking of there? Moses. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. He must have known who he was. Well, I'm glad he put that in there. I'm really glad he put that in there. I'll tell you, we're living in a time when we need to constantly stay in the Word of God and to be able to come against these people. In the 12th chapter of Hebrews, it says, second verse, says, wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If Jesus is the author of our faith, is he also the author of the faith of the Old Testament saints? Author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Well, there is only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. And, you know, when people want to defame his name, deny him, And they don't even want you to use his name in public. Just like the disciples were threatened not to to use his name. He says in 1 Peter, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And he says, he goes on, and he says, in the 11th verse, searching water, what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, speaking of the Old Testament saints, this is the 11th verse, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. There you go. It testified beforehand to them the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. They had the testimony within them of that. And it says in the 20th verse, who verily was foreordained, before the foundation of the world. And it says, he says in the 6th verse of the 2nd chapter of 1 Peter, wherefore also is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Shall not be confounded. So, these are good things for us to dwell upon. And, like I say, this could be a very, very long sermon. I don't want to belabor the point. You know, one of the things that we must remember, though, is that God is not limited in His revelation of His Son, Jesus Christ, by a mere man's thinking. He's not limited. He's not limited at all. You know, he can do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it, however he wants to do it, and whatever time and whenever and however purpose. And we know that he says here in Luke, he says, in the 9th verse, and said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. How do we have a knowledge of Jesus Christ? How do we gain the faith and the knowledge of Jesus Christ? We gain the faith and the knowledge of Jesus Christ through regeneration. Faith is a gift of God. What is faith? You know, the Spirit, it says, the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Okay. So, this is this revelation of Jesus Christ is revealed through the power of the Holy Spirit. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Speaking of Christ. And him that cometh to Christ, and cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And that included the Old Testament saints. You know? He says, and this is the Father's will which has sent me, that all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. That includes the Old Testament saints, but should raise it up again at the last day. Well, folks, I'm not going to go any further, but let's lift up the name of Jesus Christ. And let's not try to explain away scriptures, to try to rationalize deny Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was revealed to the psalmist David in many, many ways. You can see that he was revealed. And people say, well, he didn't know that it was Jesus Christ. Yes, he did. I'm convinced that they say, well, Job knew his Redeemer lived and he would walk upon, but he didn't know it was Jesus Christ. Look, why do you want to deny God's power to reveal his Son as well as his Son's name to his elect? Why do you want to deny that? It says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. If you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the fact that you are eternal and you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your name is name that's above every name, and that the name of Jesus Christ, every knee that's ever been born on the face of the earth, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. And Father, we know that through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you will not only enlighten your sheep to yourself, but you can enlighten them to your powerful name, the powerful name of Jesus Christ. And we know that you are not multiple personalities, that there's only one name given among men whereby men must be saved. Father, help us to stand strong on that when the whole world would come against us on it, even this elder. And help us to be strong and realize that even though we may not understand how you would reveal your name to those in lost lands, dark foreign countries, how you would reveal your Son to the Old Testament saints, we know that you're not limited in any way. You're omniscient, you're all-powerful, you're all-knowing. And when you say there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved but through the name of Jesus Christ, we believe it because your word says it, and we stand on it. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, that your name might be glorified. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.